them, God, we were told us to minus 5, and when we left, they said, well, perhaps because you're going back to sunny South Africa, we're now in the return of good weather, minus 2. you see, everything is relative, and so on. But we've got some good news in a committee as well in terms of our composition, membership, and so on. As some of you know, we've been running short on our membership because at one point we had a whip for about 6 weeks, and the Honourable Sorbel, personal reasons, resigned from Parliament, and he's also just been in hospital for several weeks as well. We're very sorry to lose her, and 7 months later, we are fortunate to actually have our own dedicated whip again, and that is the Honourable Kalako. Would you? Here we are. Thank you very much. It is fortunate because he also comes with an economic background, and he comes with experience of the coal face. Many of us haven't been at the coal face other than jumping around in the constituency, but he's been right there, and we are very fortunate in that regard. We also have another member who's joined the committee because we were too short, and that is the Honourable Adrian Williams, a former parliamentarian who comes with a number of skills. And he's not here this morning. I don't know if just the schedule faced him, but he reported ill. He's actually at the doctor's. So our apologies on his behalf. But we, as of his face, and for some odd reason, I've often said that, although I'm persuaded it's certainly not odd, space is considered an industry in our country, as we will hear, and whenever we deal with this, we know that our professionals, cadres in this area, science and technology, and so we are very fortunate in having the chairperson with us, Dr. Bakwana, thank you very much. And also, one of our, you know, a former members who was really depressed when he had leave us, the Honourable Ali, thank you, it's good to see you again. And, of course, the Honourable Quirinoff is a full member of this committee with one foot into science. Right. So, then we have these new members. I'd like to say we've got a full team ahead of us. And it's a short meeting because I still needed to get my own breath back and to do a lot of administration that I had left and was outstanding. So I would appreciate it if you would understand that. I should also indicate that we have in advance received certain apologies for certain meetings, and that is from yourself, Honourable Hill Lewis. We've received your email apologies, okay. So they have been noted. On that basis then, looking at that, the short agenda, the consideration of ministers' books and committee business, and I need to first check the minutes. So we have one item, FACFA, the Space Affairs Act, which is a very important act for us to look at. On that note, can we please have the adoption of the agenda? Honourable Mantash. Seconded by the Honourable Quirrell. Right. And then we move over to Ms. Majaja, Chief Director, Industrial Development Division. Please go ahead. I'm just wondering, this Majaja, is that any relation to the rain queen? because we're getting some rain in some parts of the country.
No, we are
going here.
Thank you, Sutherland. A good morning to the member. We are glad to be back here in this house again to talk about the space issues in the country and specifically the legislation that we are currently reviewing. We were here last year, I think, in November, and the chair of science and technology was leading the session. We pleaded and asked humbly to come back and give you some progress of what we have done as far as the review is concerned. important to remember that the primary legislative framework in the country is the State of Health Act of 1993, which has just come into effect at the dawn of democracy. But since we are now more than 20 years with this act, we have seen a number of developments, we have seen a number of changes, we have seen a number of state actors in the country who are keen to work on states, including tertiary education institutions. And it becomes important for us to ask ourselves as well as this legislation is current in this current scenario. So that's why we are here. The members will also remember that the DTI is the custodian of this act, is implementing this act, in working very closely with the Department of Science and Technology, but has promulgated the SANCA Act, which has established the Space Agency, which is the implementing body for space activities in the country. We are here as the DTI and the Council, the SASA, and I'm here with Advocate Makapela, who is on the Council. Unfortunately, other members could not come today. We were more than ready on Friday, but there was a postponement, and we only two of us today. I'll get into the presentation right away. I will talk about the Act, and then I will put in the reason behind looking at changing the Act. We'll look at the review process and why is this important. We talk about what are the steps that we have taken. Then we look at the substantive provisions for consideration within the current Act and the shortcomings that we have picked up from the current legislation, which has necessitated that we look at this new Act. We'll then look at the preliminary matter for consideration in the new legislation. Then we will have conclusion. If we can get reminders of the current legislation, its main objectives are two: to establish the national space policy that is to be followed in the Republic. This particular objective has been carried out by the DTI, with the minister launching this in 2009. So the country has a space policy which is guiding all space-related activities in the country. The Act also establishes the Council, the Council for Space Health, to advise the minister and space industry on international obligations. Since members are aware that space is an unbounded arena, it's an international issue, as the country also requires to abide by these international obligations. So the Council is there to supervise and authorize space activities in non-governmental entities. Issues like issuing out a license for operating a satellite, for launching a satellite, for building a satellite, for having any other related activities as far as space is concerned. The Council also has to establish and maintain a national register. This is required by the United Nations that each country, that the space-bearing nation, it must have a register where it registers all space objects, where it registers all space institutions. This is done to ensure safety of all space activities. Such that this can be done in an orderly manner, it could be properly coordinated, we will not be in any way being jeopardized of our safety. Now, looking at the review of the Act, what is the rationale? I've given a brief background earlier on. As a department, we embark on a process to review the Act, the current legislative and regulation district governing state activities in the country. This review is absolutely motivated by a number of issues, as I have mentioned. Developments in the national space arena since the enactment of the Act, which is influencing changes on institutional knowledge and responsibilities. These examples include the SANCA Act of 2010, the space policy that I've spoken to, national space science and technology strategies, which is a strategy that was led by the DSP, the ratification
vice or something.
These conventions are these international obligations that the country has.
As the country we have ratified those two conventions, which talk about liability, placing the liability to us if we are a launching state or if a juristic member of the country is involved in launching, then we will be obliged to act on the liability as well as the registration, which talks to keeping the national register so that we can have an orderly recording of what is taking place in the country. Other issues include developments in the international trade arena that need to be taken into account when implementing the national obligations under the UN Treaty. These issues include new guiding principles and guidelines on content of national legislation, which include safety of national space activity, sustainability of outer space, which includes mitigation guidelines for space debris. Last time when we did, we actually showed how many other countries and everybody else is involved in space activity. From the sense that there is a lot of space junk out there in outer space. So each and every country has to abide to these mitigation guidelines to try and control the space debris. We also need to put in place practical steps for industry participation in space activity. Ms. Klaus has alluded to the fact that space is an industry and it needs to be supported. We need to reflect in the legislation on how we're going to ensure the support for the industry and how we're going to ensure that there is efficient participation in industry. Again, as a signatory to the UN Treaty, South Africa is required to align its regulatory framework with the above treaties. The regulation of space activities in South Africa is subject to international treaties and government treaties. These are the treaties, more of the treaties that we are part to as South Africa. The Treaty on Principles Governing Activities of Space in the Exploration and Use of Outer Space, including the UN and other federal bodies, which is known as the Outer Space Treaty, which came into force in October 1967. The other treaty that we have to do is the agreement on the rights of the astronauts, or the return of the astronauts that returning into the U.S. from outer space. The other one is the international liability for damage caused by space objects, which is the liability convention, which we have recently ratified. And then the last one that I've spoken to is the registration convention. In addition to these four treaties that we are party to, there are also 11 United Nations principles on various aspects of space activity, which are not legally binding, but as a space-bearing nation, these are just waiting for us to consider them into state law norms and regulations. Because one of the guiding principles for our national policy, state policy, is to use space for its own purpose, not for any other purpose. South Africa is a member of the UN Committee on Peaceful Uses of Outer Space, which is a subsidiary of the General Assembly of the UN. This committee is a focal point for international cooperation in civilian activities and has 69 member countries, including developing countries. Now, having put that background into place of why we are involved in space legislation and the context of what the DTI is involved in with the Council as a regulatory body, we will put through to the House of what it has been doing within the review. This process involves analyzing the suitability of the current legislation. We started in 2012 by actually commissioning a study as the DTI. The study was intended to scope the international best practices to benchmark with other countries how do we fare as South Africa
as well as determining enabling provisions to ensure the objectives of the Act that can be met and are aligned with different state development in the country, as well as providing recommendations relating to the amendments to strengthen the current Act. Within this process, we have done a number of consultations with the stakeholders. We had a third workshop during the time of the Act in 2012 with all the stakeholders, where we asked the stakeholders as their view what would they want the study to move into. Then, in June, we had another workshop with all the stakeholders, the government departments, the state institutions, the industry, where we presented to them what the recommendations of the study. After this consultation, SASPA established the ad hoc committee, which we are part of. There are five other members from other departments that are part of the ad hoc committee that are busy working on the review process. In addition to the ad hoc committee, our department has seen it necessary that we involve other departments that have a role to play within the state issue. Then a working group has been formed, which encompasses the DSC, the Department of International Relations and Cooperation. But if we talk about the international obligations, that court is has to be involved. The defense, the Department of Justice and Constitutional Development, yes, it's the same one. It's, I think it's one page after.
We'll look at what you've got.
Okay. So these are the departments and the institutions that are part of the working group, because we wanted everybody to be part of the process. France as a state agency, part of the team. The AMG, the Maritime and Defense Industry Association, is also part of the working group, including the industry. Department of Telecommunications and Postal Services also are within this working group. These are the findings, the summary of the findings of the review. Involved between these two functions needs to be which are those things that is being taken care of by the two institutions, SANSA being the implementing body, and the regulatory body being SANSA. The review has picked up that this separation is something that I will maintain. In addition to that, the review picked up that the Act is falling short on addressing national development and needs to reflect domestic techniques, the policy objectives, as well as commercialization and industrialization of space, as which really wants to have a space in the country. So the new space legislation is required to reflect and touch on this. It's also required to actually strengthen the sectariat compared to the current situation. Other regulatory bodies such as ICASA are fully geared institutions with a proper starting so that they can effectively and efficiently implement the function. In addition to that, we have noticed or picked up that there is a need for this act to communicate very strongly with other relevant legislation in the country, such as the CASA Act, because within the business that we do as a CASA, we are not working in isolation, but we work with the other institutions, especially in cases where a license has to be issued. The applicant needs to apply to the CASA for frequency or slot allocation. The other issues that we left out will be seen to be within the regulation arising out of the new legislation. Members, I want to come to this area because this area is arising out of the modern law. These are the elements that should be conveyed in any modern current space legislation. Each current space legislation requires to have all these elements. And we have looked at what our legislation, how is our legislation setting up in terms of reflecting on these elements that are required for any space legislation of any country. And the first element entails the definition. The definitions are necessary because the act, the legislation must talk to the space community and be able to talk to the general people in the space. So, terms such as the wide purpose technologies, the launching, the license, outer space, spacecraft, space industry, suborbital trajectory, and all those require to be changed in time within the legislation. The scope of application, within this act, our current act, we pick up that there is no other provision on the scope and application of the act. The general scope is reduced from section 11 of the current act, which deals with license. The other element talks to authorization and licensing. Section 4 of the current act defines the national competent authority as SANSA for licensing and monitoring and supervising the use of space issues. And section 11 to 15 provide for licensing processes. The review picks up that there is a need to identify or have guidance referential. Those need to be taken into consideration. Those include different types of licenses. Over the years, we picked up that there are so many entities that are asking for licenses, starting from a small company, from university, from government departments, and there are different circles from these applicants. So it becomes necessary that when a license is being processed and issued, it must consider what will be the function of the license. Will it be for R&D purposes? Will it be for capacity building? Which is the situation in secondary education institutions? The state can use the city of technology and SAMHSA and DST assisted to launch a TUCAS last year. It was a kind of a mind-boggling issue as to whether we need to put another kind of requirement on an occasional institution, or we need to look at what is the people of it, and whether this will really be putting harm to the society and to the. So those are the aspects that need to be taken into consideration into the new legislation. Continuing supervision is quite critical in our state issues. Issuing out a license is not supposed to be the last step for the council or the regulatory body. The regulatory body requires to continue supervising the operations of that license. So Section 10 provided for the appointment, duties and powers of the inspector within the current legislation. Section 15 provides for the role of SAMHSA in cases of accidents do happen, while Section 9 provides for constitution of the board of inquiry if there is a need to set up a board of inquiry within these years. These are issues that are becoming very much critical within the current international scenario. Safety and environmental considerations, as we said, with a lot of trust on the state, we need to ensure that safe is sustainable. We need to ensure safety of our citizens, of the test parties, and everybody else. Section 11 and 15 refer to safety standards, but this section is falling short of effective clarity and how to ensure these safety standards. These safety standards were left out in the previous legislation included on regulation. This is becoming quite important and pertinent that the safety and environmental considerations are looked into now in the new legislation. To mention a few regulations that are used by the UN as a place for free mitigation guidelines, as well as the use of nuclear power sources. Other satellites, they use nuclear to power the satellites other than solar. Those issues will be used into. But I don't think we are in any near into using the nuclear power sources in power. Section 11 in our current legislation provides conditions arising out of international obligations such as out of state treaty and graduation convention. Talking about that, those, it's important to look into liability and insurance. As I talked about accidents, the current legislation has not given any provision of insurance. It also uses general language such as liability arising out of there is no specific mention on third party liability. It's not expressed as a requirement, which we have picked up as a shortcoming. Security may be required to meet obligations in turn. There is also limitation on liability, domestic versus international liability. Registration, which I've spoken to earlier on, there is no provision on registration of state objects, even though the Council has taken it upon itself to establish a national state register. It was launched by the minister, I think, about 3 years ago. The register has about 2 objects at the moment, the Samandela Trust and a piece of trust, which is the TUCAS from CPUC. The last issue which is important within any legislation is in orbit transfer of ownership. Certain companies or institutions, they do launch a satellite, but in the phase of period that they are operating as a satellite, they decide to sell it to another company. So that requires that there be an in-orbit transfer of ownership from one institution to the other. The current legislation doesn't have provision for this transfer. So we need to mention transfer issues become protests are required to be followed, and whether the regulator should be notified of such a transfer that will affect changes in the registry as well. These are the key elements, members, that are required to be part of any national legislation, and we have actually looked at what we have currently and what is it that we are meeting. After these selections would be to continue to have the consultations and drafting the deal with the relevant stakeholders. We will involve the state law advisors. They already part of the working group. State law advisors both from DELCO and DOJ. After this process, we will be having a draft deal which we will come back to give in this calendar. Then we will have the process of drafting the resolution. In conclusion, Mr. President, the review of the state legislation is critical for the country in order to expand and clarify the scope of the Act. And in terms of what we need to work on, what security, civil or military, but the essence for us would be civil application. Provide effective and responsive licensing procedure, as well as aligning and strengthening interface with other government departments, agencies and institutions. While we are safeguarding public and national interests, through the improved regulatory and administrative support, and supporting the development of the local state industry, which is clean and high-tech and high-transparency. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you very much, Chief Director. I should also have acknowledged your counselor, Dr. Advocate Makapele. My apologies to you there. I think, members, we are just going to be able to have the opportunity of engaging on this, but I think once again, the importance, you know, the socio-economic factors have been brought out to bear, but also the need to recognize that the Act itself needs serious review, and we've been asked to consider legislation that may come before us. So it's open to the floor. Thank you very much, both of you. And we will be distributing, if you don't already have it, do you have it? Right. I mean, you're putting them on the desk. But meanwhile, let's see, by show of hands, we'll take six at a time. Honourable Colonel, yes, Honourable Nkongi, Honourable Elvis. Three. That is so far. Right. Let's start.
Chairperson, thank you very much. Just a quick question. What is your time frame? When do we expect to see something happen?
Right.
No, thank you very much, Chairperson. Given the question that has been asked by Honourable Governor, it makes me to be interested because I wanted to ask whether we are going to have the detailed procurement and then we are going to be able to contribute. But my worry, Chairperson, is one that as we moved from using the space in a context of military complex of South Africa, how far have we gone in terms of making it really a developmental space for it? And what are those elements? I watched something yesterday on YouTube when the United States forces were bombarding ISIS on a foreign space. And I just thought, what are the implications of that in the space of the Republic of South Africa? Secondly, when you talk about the question of liabilities, because the space is occupied by many elements and many foreign countries. So if they have articles or they have objects that occupy our own space, of the happens, I'm going to find out who's paid, and then an accident happens then. Whose liability is going to be done? Is the liability in the Republic of South Africa, or is the liability from the one who made this application from an external object to come? So that's why I need this document. The website was sent, I don't know. I never received it. The document that deals with this matter before our administration, the one that is reviewing. I can do the review process. So it's supposed to be the document that deals with the review process.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you for your presentation. Just two questions. Notice that we signed four of the major placeable tweets, but the first one has not been signed. Can you just give us a reason for that as well, please? And then, in terms of the constitution of the ad hoc committee, the working group, as you call it, to review the Space Act. I see there's only a government department representatives, but nobody from private industry. Why is that the case? And I'd also like to know why the Department of Justice was actually involved in this as well. That would be interesting to know. And then lastly, the types of licenses, when you talk about licensing, I would like to know a little bit more about the types of licenses that are envisaged in the coming world. Thank you very much.
Thank you, the Honourable Albert. Is there anyone else who'd like to come at this point? No. Sorry, Honourable Montage.
When the consultation shall move as a consultation to which only the department, but not the public, because I've not sent any of your people in our constituency. Yes, I think they have an input to make. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Yourself, Honourable Majaja, PTI.
Thank you, Mr. President and the Honourable Members. We're quite happy to see that the members are keen to see the document. I think it's quite giving us some motivation to bring this document. Chairperson, we had our time frame coming up in July, but they have since been reviewed to say we think that by November of this year we would be able to have we would have consulted all the stakeholders, including the public. We would have also come through the parliamentary processes by end of November this year. So, but we will be working with you throughout the process, because we understand that you are the ones who will guide us. As far as the member has mentioned, in terms of seeing this away from the military aspect, I think the review has actually picked that up to say that some of the aspects that are causing confusion, such as the dual use technology, those have been taken out, will be taken out from this legislation and will be considered under the NPC, the Non-Proliferation Act, which is another institution, another act within the DPR. I must also say to Honourable Mkongi, the space policy, it's a pity we don't have copies here. The space policy, which was launched in 2009, strongly talks to space as an aspect used for people purposes, which actually talks very closely to what we're talking about. And it also talks to space as used for socio-economic development. That's why some of the functions that we have put up there, they are not part of this act, like Earth observation, where you use space to actually look on issues happening on Earth for your disaster management, for your agriculture, for your weather. Those are the aspects that are close to society and the aspects that you have made an example about, you have seen on on YouTube. Communication, which is key for the country, navigation. Communication also used to actually do the financial transactions. All the financial transactions that we do within our banks are actually at the back of the data derived from satellite. As a stakeholder, I will talk to Liability and Municipality. I just want to talk to the ARCO committee and the representation. I must actually differentiate the ARCO committee first member between the working group. The ARCO committee is the ARCO committee. ARCO committee of the council, which is representative of these members from the CDI, the CSIR. So we have a private legal practitioner who's part of the ARCO committee, the GST, the telecommunications is part of that. But having said that, the DG realized that we needed to have a bigger team that is fully inclusive of all the relevant institutions. And these are the institutions that are included in the working group. The government department, as you have said, but it also includes the association, which is an industry association, AMD, which is the Aerospace, Maritime and Defense Industry Association. They are part of the working group. Because we realize the ARCO committee is sort of narrow, as you have said, but bringing it up is quite important. You've asked why the justice is there. Department of Justice and Constitutional Development, they have a state law advisor. And in any state legislation development in the country, they need to be part of that and advise on issues of justice and constitutional development. Types of licenses, if I may mention, I'm taking everything out. The types of license, honorable member, as I mentioned, over the period that the council has been operating, we've received a number of applications. We received an application from a company at some point in time, but we are indicating that because tertiary education institutions, they are tertiary education institutions, we know their mandate, they are teaching the students, they are doing capacity building, they are doing research and development. So when we are considering their license applications, we don't need to put a lot of onerous requirements on them, as we would if it's a company that is going to use the satellite for commercial space. I will ask the advocate to talk about liability issues.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Members, since it's the first time for me to take the floor, I'm asking also currently the chair for the Advocate Review Committee of the South African Council for State Affairs. So I thought probably before I can answer the issue of liability, because I believe that is actually the current of us being here, because it needs to be clear why are we even spending a second or an hour regulations in our affairs. And you know, I think first and foremost, it is important for us to understand that when we talk of space activity, we are talking about risky activity, which are hazardous. So having that in mind, it has to be important that to us we understand that it is important to put mechanisms in place to make sure that these activities are authorized and they are supervised and continuously supervised. It is important also for us because we want to make sure that while these activities are taking place, that they actually do not harm our interests, they do not harm our national security, they do not go against our foreign policy objectives. So on the overall, it's important for us to have that clear in our minds. And we also want to make sure that when private subjects, private entities are entering into the development and use of space activities, that they do not violate our national obligations. And of course, a lot of those national obligations, including that liability that you've highlighted. And also having those responsibilities, because when we are talking about space, we are actually talking about a different arena altogether in terms of international law. Because we are talking about an area where we cannot control, we are talking about an area that South Africa has no jurisdiction, that everybody shares outer space. So when you have an area that is being shared, then you have everything and every right to worry about what is happening in outer space. And on those international responsibilities, we have an international obligation. And what is this responsibility? Normally, when you talk of international responsibility or a responsibility in that matter, you talk about a state being responsible for its actions. That would, under normal circumstances, a state would have to be responsible for the actions that it has taken. So all those actions that it is directly attributed to. But unfortunately, in outer space, which is this special circumstance, even actions of your nationals, actions of your private entities that are happening in the backyard, the state is liable and the state is responsible. That's why we care, and that's why we are here today. And we have all those international obligations. And it's not only about the international obligations, it's also making sure that we also play a fair role and we are a peaceful user of outer space in return. And also, Ms. Jaja has highlighted a number of conventions that have, conventions that have come up, and specifically on liability. Now we have the Liability Convention. So besides that responsibility, which is, that means as a state, if a satellite hits the National Assembly of the U.S., and then what happens? So it is important for us to be aware, especially if you are party to the convention, that you are aware of all those legal commitments that accrue out of these international obligations. And it's not only about the state, because now, like Mr. Jaja has alluded to, we are talking about third-party liability. We're not only talking about two satellites in outer space, because a satellite can come back to Earth and re-enter Earth, and then what happens? So all of that, those are the things that are a matter of consideration to make sure that the state is protected, also whilst balancing the interests of the private entities and private individuals that are participating in space. So on the other issue, probably I would leave liability at that. And then the other issue is the Moon Treaty. The Moon Treaty is actually I would say on record, it's a good treaty because it talks about sharing of space benefits. It is a very important treaty, especially for developing countries like South Africa. Because what it says is whatever happens in the moon, in outer space, or any other activity in the celestial bodies, states must share and benefit from whatever activities that come up there. However, we have a scenario which is rather odd because we have all the so-called spacefaring nations, major spacefaring nations, because we still have, we still have a problem of sharing. Because if I spend my resources as a country, billions of dollars, and then send a satellite into outer space, into a shared territory, and I however discover whatever would be meaningful for the U.S., for example, or for Europe, then what would be benefit for me to share? So we have a scenario where there is a good convention that has been proposed by the developing countries. Unfortunately, South Africa is not a party to it. We have a good convention, but however, the major space regulations are totally opposed to it because of, how do you actually look at the value of your financial commitments that you have put, and then at the end of the day, you are expected to share the benefits. So South Africa is currently considering, because during the time of the ratification of the, both the registration and the liability convention, there was a consideration of looking into the Moon Treaty. But we needed to spend time to actually understand what are the actual reasons for South Africa not to ratify the convention. And I do not have any other reasons that I can put before you members to say to give reasons as to why, but probably the Department of Trade and Industry will consider those in the future. And then the other question I would like to clarify on licensing, to add more on what Ms. Mudaza has said. We have different categories of licenses, because when you are talking about private entities participating into what you so called as government activity, because you must remember that also when these treaties were put into place, there was no thinking of companies as having the financial resources to participate into a government activity. It was more of a government activity that was being thought of previously. Even though that has evolved with the U.S. actually commercializing outer space and making sure that now we use outer space not only, I mean, to also benefit from it and to also make value out of it. So what happens is now in terms of the licenses that we have for the categories that we've looked into, we want to make sure that all the specific ones, because it's a license from South Africa by an entity, anybody, any company that wants to launch a satellite, they have to register. Whether they have to get a license, also when they launch from any other territory of another state. And you must think of that, because whether they develop a satellite and they don't launch it in South Africa, they launch it in Russia, we still are responsible for that because it's a South African satellite. And we also need to know how do we make sure that both these countries are joint launching states. Because when we talk of launching, we're not only talking about sending the satellite into outer space, because the satellite first has to be developed. We want to make sure that all the applications, they actually go with what we want in terms of making sure that we do applications that are going to help the people in agriculture and many other various areas that Ms. Majaza has talked about. Even though the treaties themselves, it doesn't prevent the use of communications for military purposes. I'm just trying to clarify that part. Because military activities, they are for peaceful purposes. What it totally excludes is the putting of weapons of mass destruction in outer space. That it is not allowed. We've got a number of other conventions that exclude that. So on top of that, the third category of license is the participation of any institution in terms of the operation, because you must remember, when the satellite is in outer space, it still needs to communicate with the people down on the ground in terms of maneuvering the satellite, controlling the satellite, and receiving the data from the satellite. So that it's important that, you know, there is a license to make sure that all of that activity, it is within the realm of what South Africa wants to achieve. And I think any other activity that, you know, might be of interest, of national interest, or where any other international obligation might accrue, it also falls under the category of the licenses. And if there's nothing else, I think I would conclude.
Thank you very much. I'm just looking up because there are a couple of other issues we'd like to inquire about. Yes, is that Dr. Gokwana just over there? And Honourable Gokwana, Honourable Nkongi.
Thank you, Chairman. I hope I'm going to be short, but there are a few questions that I have about that weather and oversight group and passing laws. It would be of interest if maybe you can give us, some of us are illiterate, but it would be good if you could give us another X so that we can, in a summary form, so that we can look at them and be able to look at what's happening, especially in that Moon Treaty. that we're talking about, I think we'll be very interested on that summit. I think as politicians, all we're interested in is to transform our country. Now, transforming our country from what we know happened 20 years ago and to now. And the unfortunate part is that we are a developing country, a certain area of a developed country, and the space has got nothing about developing and developed. It's used by everybody. Now, in trying to form a new law, we must consider that fact that we are a developing country, but we must not be dictated to by the developed world. If that is going to be factored in one way or another, and it goes even into our country, where most of the private sector is in those people who are in the developed country in South Africa, and yet we've got those people who are in the developing country in South Africa who are supposed to be part of this. So when we talk about the private sector, we should make sure that we incorporate everybody, knowing that we are in this immense country. I'll be very interested in well, let me finish up that one, that even when we talk about the RMG, we seem to be talking about RMG about the universities, but not knowing that there's a lot of RMG that we need to do in our rural areas and be incorporated there. But it is very interesting to, in this space that you talk about, that there's a space that is not that for developing countries, but it's space for everybody, and we're competing. But in South Africa, we've got a peculiar scenario where we've got Lesotho and Swaziland right in South Africa. And obviously, they depend on what we do. Either it depends on us or we depend on them, but there's some questions because they're here. Now, whose responsibility would it be if there happens to be problems with what's happening with them, if they've got capacity to do some of these things, or if they depend on us, and there's something that happens to them that is not at all, whose response is going to be? I know there's international treaties, but they are right in South Africa. And whatever they, I mean, if you look at Lesotho, whatever happens there, even if there's financial, they use your finances to, whatever you call it, they use the cars to get money. The other depend on South Africa, or but we're doing it together. Now, if there's something that happens, that is wrong, who's responsible? Is it Lesotho, is it South Africa? Maybe if that could be incorporated in the new act that we're proposing back about to amend. Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much, Honorable Kakwana. Honorable Nkongi.
No, thank you very much, Chairperson. Again, Honorable Kakwana is saving me on his input, because I wanted us to go there. You know, he's speaking about developed nations and underdeveloped nations or developing nations which are using space. And within this process of these nations that are different, they talk of privatizations and so forth and so forth. And then in time to come, there will be a talk of privatization of the space before we could arrive. So it's very much important to look at that. Well, this act is going to look at those particular questions. Well, my question is that we'll find a foreign company that operates in South Africa and apply to you. How are we going to deal with that situation? And an accident happens in the space. Who is liable at that particular moment? A foreign company operating in South Africa applies to you, you give a license. Or is that company supposed to apply in its own original country, you know, or from the country of origin? So these are the things that I also want to know, whether are they going to be featured within this particular thing? Because I don't want us to think of immediate, but to think of futuristic implications of this particular act as we go. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Honorable Mkombi. Ah, yes. Right. Go ahead, please. Honorable Liyenge.
Thank you, Chanderson. Mine is just one Chanderson in addition to what the oral members have actually spoken on. It relates to the space determination of boundaries. What is it that you use? Is it informed by the land boundaries that we have, or is there any kind of amounts in terms of such a determination? Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Yuengu. Just in closing, then we, you know, you will be responding. I just want to ensure we get in a couple of other issues here. The International Astronautical Congress, of which both the committees of science and technology, as well as trade and industry, are involved. And invariably, we also, it is our intention to take along possibly telecommunications or portfolio committee from the rural. Now, we did not go last year. I think that was because we had to come back after elections. And there were some critical issues that were discussed there, which we were not part of. And we would certainly like, if you have got any information in that regard to the Congress this year, perhaps you could communicate that with us so that we could prepare well in advance, because Parliament requires a 3 month process to implement that participation here. Right. Having said that, it would also be useful, there seems to be a list of stakeholders you were consulting beyond the list you noted in your presentation. It would be useful to us to get that list, the whole list. And then secondly, get some idea. You know, this bill you indicate here is being tabled to relevant bodies. Well, I would hope at some point you'll table it here in Parliament. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Maybe let me start with your questions and comments. Yes, we pick up that the members could not attend the 2014 IAC in Canada last year, and we will be providing the information arising out of the parliamentary sessions which you usually attend. This year's IAC would be in Jerusalem in October 2015. We will provide, yes, Israel, Jerusalem. So we will provide you the details of the specific dates. And I think it will also be important, Chair, to probably have a meeting with yourselves to update yourselves of the proceedings of last year and preparation for this year, if the members would participate.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And then if you could just briefly address the other issues, thank
you. Okay. Let me ask Advocate to respond to the issues of the space determination of boundaries. I think other issues, futuristic issues that the members have mentioned, I think we appreciate them. I think they will be taken into consideration. The issues of transformation, and we have mentioned that this act requires to seriously reflect on industry participation and fair industry participation. So those issues will be covered and looked at. One issue which is quite interesting, Honorable Gokwana, is the issue of landlocked countries, Lesotho and Swaziland. It's an issue which I think has not crossed our mind, but we know that they are part of the SACU, Southern African Customs Union. Probably it could be discussed in there, and SACU could be broadened. We will discuss this with the other members
and one of the of the units within the TDI that deals with international trade and international economic development. Issues of privatization, foreign company operating in South Africa, the two treaties, registration and liability, will guide this, because the company would be registered here under the South African law, and the company, if they require to launch, they may register here, or they may launch in this kind of origin, or they may launch here. So the choice will be between them, whether they apply for a license in their country or here, but the information will filter through to where they are. Yes.
And just to add on what she's talking about, the current legislation, on the current legislation, as it stands, any juristic person that is incorporated or registered in South Africa has to get a license. So as long as you are operating in a facility in South Africa, whether you are a foreign national or you are a South African national, you need authorization, because there are implications in that. There are risks in terms of if something happens to that satellite or something happens in that facility, because the state will have to take the responsibility for that. So it is clear rules that whether you are a foreign national or you are a South African national, as long as you are registered in the Republic, you have to get a license. And that also means whether you procure the satellite, you actually do not do it here in South Africa, as long as you are registered in the Republic, incorporated in the Republic, you still need to get a license. Because all the responsibilities under the liability convention, they are attributed to the case of South Africa. So I don't know if it clarifies the question. So I think it was often the explanation of the different categories of licenses that we're talking about. So you can have a situation where, for instance, a South African satellite is developing a satellite with a company from the U.S. And we also have what you call a joint launching phase, where two states sit down and they take all the joint responsibilities, and they can choose which country would have to file the administration. But in terms of the responsibilities and the duties, both states, for instance, if you have a rocket from Russia or India, and you have a satellite from South Africa, the liability is not gone, because once you put that rocket, your satellite, into that rocket, during the launch, that satellite might blow up, or that record rocket might blow up, and then, I mean, causing harm, causing whatever, or causing accident with another satellite of another state, another state. So there are many further details and cases where you deal into liability. So it's more of a broader and detailed category than we are actually providing to you, which I believe that it is important, like the Chair Bokwana has indicated, that it is important that probably when we do these briefings, we also provide you with the necessary documentation that is going to help you to understand and be able to reflect on some of the issues. Just to answer the member again, there are no boundaries in outer space. Hence, it's one of the other special circumstances. Because there are no boundaries, once you put a satellite out there, you can be able to see, you can be able to take an image of whatever state, which is the critical concern that we have. Because what happens in terms of the security, what happens into, I mean, it has been a debate in international, at the UN for a very, very long time. Hence, we are putting all the measures to make sure that when you launch a satellite, and as South Africa, you know that this satellite is going to cover Zimbabwe, is going to cover the whole satellite. It is important to cooperate, because rather than all of us launch a satellite, why not working together so that instead of, you know, so that we can maximize our resources, we can get the data from different satellites. Already in Africa, we have an Africa Resource Management Constellation, because it's important. Rather than all of us sending satellites out there, it is important that when Nigeria launches and South Africa launches, then we can be able to share the data. So because there are no boundaries, I think that's another reason why we spend a second in terms of space, so that you know when a satellite is launched, can I benefit from the satellite? What kind of applications can I get from satellite? And we must remember that South Africa, over the past 20 years, past 50 years rather, we have relied on international satellites to get the data, whether it's for weather or for anything. So we are largely the user of space activities, rather the user of space applications, rather than the launcher, which is something that has been growing over the past few years, like 15 years. So it is important for us. Whether we actually launch a satellite, we still play a role in the satellite. We still want to get data from Intelsat. We still want to get data from the US. We still want to get the necessary data for all our applications that we are doing. Thank you.
Well, we must really thank you, Chief Director. And it's great that you're meeting this committee early on in its establishment and so on, and we hope to at least get some sight of this proposed legislation, at least a draft, sometime this year to look at, because that goes back to, what, 22 years we haven't reviewed this legislation, so it'll be quite important. And if you could just send back to us in writing what measures are being taken to capacitate young people coming out of the tertiary institutions. We've been asked to send some across on these international fora, and we don't know where to begin. I mean, we need to encourage youth to make a contribution there. This can't just be the role of Parliament. The departments and bodies must also take some interest, direct interest in this regard here. I do note you made a reference to the Cape Peninsula University and that satellite that they launched, etc., some sort of nanotechnology. And if you would keep us abreast as soon as you become aware of perhaps some of the tertiary institutions doing this, I think they should be encouraged. And after all, space is also another, platform for development of our manufacturing and the smaller components and so on and so forth. So I think the committee appreciates what you've given us, but any other outstanding documentation which has been requested, we would like to see, perhaps through Ms. Naidoo, you can ensure we receive it. But don't wait until you get here on an invitation. Please keep us informed through email what's happening out there. After all, we don't need telescopes for your work. All right. So thank you very much to the department. Members, I've got to do something very important. But, I sort of managed to see the Honourable Mantash, and then but only by moving my head, I saw Mr. Chenda Madima. Now, Mr. Chenda Madima, you need to have a strong, hard look at him, because he is going to be one of the valuable workers here. You will recall that Mr. Kanyisa Mkize was our second committee secretary here, and Mr. Madima is replacing him, as Mr. Mkize, I think, has gone back to petitions. Is that correct, Mr. Hermans? So there we are, and he had a good briefing, and he's ready to engage. His desk is empty at the moment, the top, and so you're welcome to try and engage him on the matter. Thank you very much in that regard. Now, just before we adjourn, I need you to note that sometime last year, we had to postpone on two occasions the issue around the, gambling machines, bingos or whatever, electronic bingo. And, no matter how hard we tried, somehow we couldn't get the MEC or when we couldn't find the space. Now, she fortunately is able to join us this Friday briefly. This is not gambling legislation, which will be coming, and in fact we also have a private member's bill in this regard. This is an area that, notwithstanding that, we need to just deal with immediately. So we have also asked and invited the select committees, a relevant select committee, to join us on that occasion. So I'd like you to just review the information that you have on it so that you come prepared and armed to engage with the MEC, who's availed herself for this meeting. We really appreciate it, and it shows cooperative governance at its very best. So if there's anything else, not anything else, is there anything else, Mr. Hermans, that I may have forgotten? Tomorrow's meeting, we haven't had a manco for some time, and we now have our new whip, and we really would like to have a manco urgently. We need to have one on Wednesday, so we will start the committee meeting half an hour later at 9:30, and the manco will be from 8:30 to 9:15. Otherwise, it remains the same. Are we all on track? Right. I'd like to thank everyone present, and also our colleague who is come here, and I hope he will invite us to some of his inputs that, you know, have a sort of mutual interest for both of us. Thank you very much. Meeting adjourned.
One, two, three.